Well, if you have a Bible handy, you'll find it very useful to turn to Psalm 67. Say that, I can't find my Bible. There we go. Today, we're praying for justice for the persecuted church, for Christians around the world. And you may, when I say that, come back with the question, well, why pray for other nations? Haven't we got enough problems of our own in this country? You know, our focus should be here first, our homeless problem, before the people of Syria or Pakistan or Yemen. Well, I want us to see this morning that God calls us to think globally. And actually, there is a responsibility on us to think globally. I have to acknowledge the help of John Piper for the sermon. His sermon on this passage is superb, and I'm not even going to be able to give you a little bit of that today. He preached for an hour and 10 minutes on this sermon. If I did that, you'd be throwing stuff at me. So you'll forgive me. You're getting a little bit. But if you want to hear the some of the best preaching you've ever heard, download his sermon on this passage. Let's dive straight into the text, shall we? Psalm 67 and verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. Well, first question, who is us? In that context, who is us? Us, in that context, is the nation of Israel. Israel. If you set this in context, this is a song, it is a psalm, a prayer, which is rooted in the nation of Israel. It's saying, may God be gracious to Israel. May God bless Israel. May God shine on Israel. It's a great prayer, and it's a prayer of spiritual abundance. I'm going to have a clicker, guys, or you're going to have to keep up with me somehow. Okay? It's a prayer of spiritual abundance. And it makes three requests, doesn't it? It makes three requests for spiritual abundance. First of all, that God, you would be gracious to us. That God, you would show us favor. That you would show us kindness. Even though we don't deserve it. That's what grace is, isn't it? It's saying, God, would you open our eyes to see how wonderful you are? It's not saying, God, would you see how wonderful we are? It's saying, God, would you bear with us? It's saying, God, we recognize our failings. We recognize our faults. Lord, God, would you bear with us? We recognize that we don't deserve anything good from your hand at all. Be gracious to us. He says, God, would you bless us? Would you bless us? Would you make us happy? Would you make us fulfilled? Would you give us what we need? And God, would you make your face shine on us? That's a great phrase, isn't it? Lord, may your face, may your being, may your presence be like a light to us. May you shine in our eyes. That's a great thing to ask, isn't it? May you be the shining light that gives us light. Do you want God to shine on you today? I hope you do. Do you want God to illuminate your life with his presence? That's what this psalm is asking. You remember when Moses went up to the mountain, received the Ten Commandments, and he met God face to face? And it says, when Moses came down the mountain again and saw the people, his face was shining. Light was flowing out from him, like his body retained some of the glory of God somehow. Do you want that? Do you want that God might shine today? That he might shine on us? That's a great prayer, isn't it? Verse 1, Psalm 67, verse 1. If you've got a highlighter pen, highlight it in your Bible. It's a prayer asking for spiritual abundance. grace of God, the blessing of God, the presence of God rest upon us. Question is, why? Why? What's the purpose? Is it just to make us happy? Because it would definitely do that, wouldn't it? If God shone the light of his presence on you today, it would be the best day of your life. It would be amazing. But that's not the reason the psalmist gives. Look at verse 2. So that, it's the reason, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation to all nations. The psalmist is praying for spiritual abundance, but why? Why? For the benefit of Israel? No. So that your ways may be known on earth, among all nations. You see, there's a bigger picture here. May the God of Israel, may Yahweh bless Israel so that the whole world will know your ways and every nation know your salvation. He's saying, may the world know your ways. May the world know your character, God. We want the whole world to know what you are like, to know who you are. We want the whole world to know this God. I tell you this morning, there are many Muslims around the world who want to know God, who are hungering after God, who are seeking after God. And very, very often, as they seek Allah, they find Jesus. There's a wonderful book written by a man called, I can't remember his name now. It's in my notes. Nabil Qureshi. Amazing book called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. And it's the story of one man who, a very ordinary Muslim man, who is seeking after God, and he finds that Jesus is everything he ever dreamed or hoped that God might be and more. The psalmist is saying, may the nations know your ways. May the nations know your salvation. That's the message of the Bible, isn't it? That God has come in the person of Jesus Christ to rescue sinners, to seek and to save the lost, to bring salvation. That's what this psalm, this song is saying. Make that known to all the nations. Bless Israel. Give spiritual abundance to Israel so that all the nations may be blessed. I wonder if that reminds you of anything. Reminds me of Genesis chapter 12, when God speaks to Abraham and makes Abraham a set of promises and says this, I will make you, Abraham, into a great nation, and I will bless you, and you will be a blessing, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And Abraham, of course, is the start of the people that God would build. It's the very beginnings of the nation of Israel. And God chose this very unremarkable man, Abraham, and formed him and his descendants into a small, fairly unremarkable nation called Israel. And through that nation, he spoke to the whole world and blessed the whole world. Why? Because the Messiah came from Israel. Jesus came from Israel. And you might say this morning, well, that's just a weird way of going about it, God. Why use Israel? Why use Israel? There was certainly nothing special about them. They had some very, very low points in their history. The Apostle Paul, who was Jewish himself, said of his own countrymen, he said, we are a disobedient and obstinate people. Romans 10, verse 21. Their low points were very low indeed. We talked about them sacrificing their own children to other gods at one point. And there is mystery here. There is. But we can say God's plan is and always has been global. The point of Israel was to be a light for the Gentiles, for the rest of us. That's us, isn't it? Isaiah 49, verse 6. says this. It is, I think it's on the screen actually. It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, says God. It's too small. That's not ambitious enough. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. See, that's God's plan, to reach the ends of the earth. God has a global agenda, a global agenda. Look at verse 3. It says, may the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations praise you, God. Our God, Yahweh. Not any other God. You see that? It doesn't say, Lord, may the nations be sincere worshippers of their own gods. It doesn't say, Lord, may the peoples be really, really religiously devoted. It says, no, may they praise you, God. May they praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. And now maybe you can see the relevance of this for today. As we remember our brothers and sisters who are persecuted around the world, because you can see that brings a clash, doesn't it? That brings a clash. We declare Jesus is Lord. That brings problems. That brings a lot of problems. Deuteronomy 4, verse 39. The Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other, God says. In the first century, the emperor of the Roman Empire, Domitian, demanded worship like a god. The Roman emperor, he just demanded to be treated like a god, because he was a bit like that. And every person living in the Roman Empire would have to say, Caesar is Lord. And if you refused, you were exiled at least, or executed. Imagine that you were a Christian in AD 90 when that was happening. You're faced with a choice, aren't you? What do you do? Caesar is Lord? Well, actually, no, I believe Jesus is Lord. And today, friends, that same conflict is playing out all over the world today. So when we pray for North Korea and Somalia and Pakistan and Syria and Yemen and Iran and the Maldives and Afghanistan today, there, in those places and in many others, if you were to openly declare Jesus is Lord, it will mean your family is cut off from you. You may lose your job. You may lose your home. You may have to move to a new community. For some, it will mean physical violence. For many girls, it will mean forced marriage. It will mean rape. And all because of Jesus saying, Jesus is Lord and there is no other. Well, you might say, that sounds a bit arrogant. To say Jesus is Lord and there is no other, that sounds a bit arrogant, really. Far from it. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. This is spectacular. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. You see, the news about Jesus should make the nations glad. He is the solution to the universal human problem. The Apostle Paul was a genius by any stretch of the imagination. One of his arguments he uses in Romans chapter 5 addresses just this. He says, in Romans chapter 5, he talks about, he says, in Adam, all die. Sin came into the world through Adam, and death through sin, and therefore death came to all people because all sinned. Now you see, our biggest problem today is not the economy, is not who the president of America is. It's not North Korea's nuclear weapons. They're not the biggest problems in the world. The biggest problems in the world are not global warming or house prices or anything in any one country or any one individual. Our biggest problem is universal. Our biggest problem is that we are descended from Adam who sinned, and therefore we all sin and are under the same curse as him. That problem with sin is shared across every language and people and nation under the sun. And friends, this morning, just as sin can be all traced back to one man, so salvation comes to us from one man, the one man, Jesus. And therefore there is hope, and there is life, and there is forgiveness, and there is eternity with God on offer through Jesus. So may all the nations be glad and sing when they hear of him, because he is the one who can fix our universal problem with humanity, not just a local problem with economics or something. May the nations be glad and sing. You know that Christians sing? Should. Why? Why do Christians... Why is singing such a big part of Christian faith? Because it plays a part in all kinds of religions, doesn't it? But maybe someone correct me if I'm wrong afterwards, but I think in every religion I'm aware of, singing is very much something ceremonial or mystical, or it's chanting and becomes hypnotic, or maybe beautiful sounding, like in Islam, we talk about the sound of the words in Arabic. But people don't sing for joy. Christians sing for joy. Because Christians say, look what God has done. It's amazing. It's amazing. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. Why? Because God, you rule with equity. God is just. God is fair. You know, every person on planet Earth will have a fair hearing one day before God. No one will get away with anything. You know that? Because God is just and God is fair. He is right. There will be no clever lawyers to get people off the hook. It won't matter what skin color you are, whether you're a man or a woman or a child. It won't matter how many GCSEs you have, or what nation you were brought up in. Utterly fair. God is a righteous judge. And when the nations see that, it says, they will be glad and sing for joy. You know, many of the nations we're praying for today, their judicial system is not fair. It's not fair. There's corruption. There's bribes. You know the right person? You get a reduced sentence, you get off, it never goes to court, it just goes away. Many people all over the world hate their government because corruption is rife. And friends, whatever you might think about the UK government today, and obviously they're far from perfect, we are immensely blessed to have a stable government, aren't we? Because when people see that God is just and fair, that is a reason to rejoice. That is a reason to rejoice. When people see that government is not in ultimate control, that brings rejoicing too. Look at the end of verse 4. He guides the nations of the earth. He raises up kings and rulers and then deposes them again. God is in control, not the prime minister, not the king, not the leader of whatever nation it is. Do you see what verse 4 is really saying? May the nations of the earth be glad. May they sing for joy. For, it's got the word for in there, for you are just and good and you rule and you reign, God. May they rejoice in the glorious truth of who you are. So friends, when we pray for the world, when we engage in world mission, when we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, we are not just praying for their survival. That's really important. Well, we do that. Many are in awful situations. But that is not the primary aim. That's not what we're primarily praying for, is that for their survival. We're praying that the world may know the glory of God. We're praying that they may be glad in Him, as we, I trust, are glad in Him. We're praying that they might know good, that they might know joy and peace and happiness in the Lord Jesus. That's why Jesus said, Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We want good for them. When we pray for North Korea, when we pray for Somalia and their horrendous government, when we pray for Yemen, when we pray for Sudan, we're not just praying for believers there to survive. We're praying for the nation to be transformed, that the nations may know this God and rejoice in Him. We want good for them. If only they knew, if only they realized that we're asking for their good, for their joy, that they might know God, the one true God. If only North Korea knew that we are not their enemy, that we're not against them, but we want their good. We want the very best for them. We want them to experience the greatest joy that North Korea could ever experience, and that is to know God. So why do we pray for other nations? That they may be glad and for their joy. Do you notice something about this song? I've set out my slides very deliberately today. Verse 5 is the same as verse 3. You notice that? Verse 5 is the same as verse 3. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. It's a psalm with sort of concentric circles. And the pinnacle of it is verse 4. Praying for the gladness and joy of the nations. Well, that would suggest, wouldn't it, that verse 6 and 7 are the same as verse 1 and 2. But if you read it, verse 6 is about harvest. You might think, hey, where's that suddenly come from? The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear Him. Why is it suddenly on about harvest? Well, when it was written, harvest was about the most tangible sign of God's material blessing on a nation. You know, if you had a good harvest, you could feast, you could celebrate, we're doing all right. And so the prayer continues, God, would you bless us still, not so that we can have a big party, but so the ends of the earth may fear Him. That's what it says, verse 7, isn't it? It talks about a harvest. But is it just so we can celebrate? No, it's so the ends of the earth may fear Him. It's this global perspective again. It's saying, Lord, bless us materially so that the ends of the earth may hear about You. Can you put that bit up, please? So Verse 1 and 2, we're praying for spiritual abundance so that the whole world benefits from it. And verse 6 and 7 are praying for material abundance so that the whole world may hear about it and be blessed through it. You see, material blessing has a purpose, just as spiritual blessing has a purpose. Material blessing is not just there to make us happy. Do you know that? It's not all about spending give ourselves pleasure, but it so the nations may benefit from it. There was an old Matt Redman song. It's on his first album, I think. And it's called, I can't remember the name of the song now, but it's got these lines in it. If much is required where much is received, then you can have my whole life, Jesus, have it all. Jesus said, much is demanded where much is received. And so this morning, I want to say to us, as a church in the United Kingdom, in 2017. Spiritually, we are abundantly blessed. Spiritually, we are abundantly blessed. I hope you feel that, because we are. Materially, we are abundantly blessed. And so, we have a huge responsibility to the nations. That's what this psalm is all about. That's what this psalm is all about. Whether there's spiritual blessing, whether there's material blessing, it shouldn't just remain with us. It should go out. That all the nations may be glad in the same way that we have been made glad. That's the point. It's a missionary song. It's a missionary psalm. Now, I know that not everyone is called to be an overseas missionary. I get that. But some are. Some are. There are some here today who probably really ought to go. Whether short-term, medium-term, or long-term. And it requires sacrifice. But where much is given, much is demanded, says Jesus. There are some, probably, who ought to go to DBI next year and go and see what's going on there and be blessed just as I was. And I know if you've got kids and you're a part of a couple or whatever, it requires sacrifice. It does. Wendy sacrificed an awful lot for me to go to DBI this year. There may be opportunities in Zambia as well with Simon. I know for some, you're involved in Global Cafe, and the world comes to us, which is very convenient, which is wonderful. For others, and I'm in this category, okay? This is me. We can give and support and encourage and pray. You know, I'm not called to be a missionary at this point, you know? So I think that's most of us, probably. We're called to give and pray and encourage and support those who are doing that task, but some of us ought to be doing that task. But at the very least, we can set some time aside to pray for our brothers and sisters in other nations who are prepared to say Jesus is Lord and to put their necks on the line for it, that their faith may shine bright and that their courage may not fail. At 12 o'clock today, we're going to start our first prayer session in that room. We're going to be praying for North Korea and then for Somalia. And then about 1 o'clock, we're going to have some lunch. And then all afternoon, we're praying for other countries as well. We're praying for Pakistan and Sudan and Syria and Yemen and Iran and the Maldives. And then 20 past 4 or so, we'll have some tea. And then 5 o'clock, we've got service here that I mentioned earlier with Assad, the evangelist from Afghanistan. It just blows my mind that they even exist, but that's what he does. So we'll have that time together. Let's pray, shall we? And then we'll sing. Lord, thank you for pouring abundant blessing into our lives today. Lord, we have so much spiritually. We have your word, we have Bible teaching, we have Bible teachers, we have the internet with almost infinite resources. We have freedom. Lord, thank you for our material blessings. We have homes and electricity and water and money and cars, and we praise you, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you would help us to be engaged with your plan, that your name may be glorified in all the nations, that all the nations may be glad and rejoice in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you that on every country on earth today, there are people who love you and worship you. But Lord, there are tribes, there are people groups around the world who don't yet know the name of Jesus. And we pray for them. And we pray for your people in those very difficult places, that their faith may shine bright and that their courage may not fail. Lord, we bring these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.